He said, I did. And he goes, apparently, that's not appreciated when they say words.
Over the last year or two,
statistics tell us that the next 2015, about 51,000 more than 52,000 people died from drug overdoses. It's projected this year that it will be better than 59,000. That's more than all the people who were killed, the Americans that were killed in the Vietnam War. And 1 year, this year, we're going to lose more than all that died in Vietnam. We're going to lose people in a decade what HIV and AIDS has done since 1980. And it's not just things like heroin. They have these synthetic drugs now. And one of them is called fentanyl. They say, I don't really know what this means. They say it's 50 times more powerful than heroin. I've never been on heroin, so I don't know. But that sounds impressive. But it doesn't hold a candle to something called carfentanil, which they say is 5,000 times more powerful than heroin. They say that second drug is actually an elephant tranquilizer, and for some people, just a few grains could kill humans. People are thinking this stuff. Well, no wonder they're dropping like flies. The experts, I did my research, and they said that the best case scenario over the next 10 years, we'll only lose about 22,000 people to drug overdose. Best case scenario. In Ohio, fatal drug overdoses have increased by 642% since the year 2000. In 2012, 24,000 people were clinically diagnosed as having dependency on opioids. In 2016, it was 1.4 million. That does not include people on Medicaid, Medicare, or who are obtaining the drugs illegally because they're uninsured. So last summer, in Cincinnati, Ohio, they had 174 ODs in 6 days. Last winter, in Louisville, Kentucky, 151 in 4 days. Last August, in a place called Huntington, West Virginia, I've never heard of that town until I was reading some of this stuff, 28 ODs in 5 hours. No wonder the Lord has to hold and hold and over again present himself. We got to stand for that. And that's what he's talking about. You know, adultery and alcohol and not letting God to be in the world. That's what we are. So that's the greatest commandment. And how many billions of people are going to be guilty of that? Of course, the doctors are away and they can think, I said, patients have a right to relieve the pain.
I don't think we'll have a good runner at all.
heaven. If someone came and told you, hey, the Lord is with you, what have you been saying? What's he done to you? He must be getting married. Yay! Lord, that's marriage and all these problems. Well, who's the God Almighty? Well, and it could take time. You are wrong. There's no way that I'm the Lord. That's you. And you were just nobody accepted from the completely light of the redemption of mankind. What happened when all appropriated ourselves? Haven't we all kind of been like this? Now, some people will say that, you know, maybe the Lord told them, they didn't just kind of, you know, go up their manners out there. And maybe it was so bad that there weren't any other women available. I mean, look, the first time you thought that father was a good prophet, you didn't know it. That's what he said.
No.
Only evil continually. Oh, maybe someone has an idea. Maybe it's like, well, maybe there's one that's available. Certainly, it was prophetic. Maybe she was virtuous, and maybe she was pure, but the story was going to go, or she was going to run off and play the harness, and what Israel did to the Lord. And why are the seven churches? Only two of the seven are free of any corruption or rebuke. And so I'm telling you, Latter Day is what I'm seeing. We don't have a whole lot to brag about when it comes to our relationship with the Lord. We're the outsiders who are trying to get in, sure. And so I think maybe she was good and then God was just saying, I don't know, maybe she was just a whole from the beginning.
Of Israel.
versus my daughter. I just think that just speaks of redemption. We have run off, we have cheated, we have played this role, and the Lord didn't give up. He didn't say, if you had the chance, you had the moment, you could have, you should have, but you didn't. Some right, look at what you John Mark, you have five husbands, and you bring them from your husband, and then Jesus said, I must need to go to Samaria. Everybody else didn't put a good job in the five-time minister. Maybe she didn't care about any stigma that would make. Maybe she just happily esteemed herself for the other. Was on a mission.
Yeah.
Same type of mission that he had to go on and get a hold of me. Get a hold of me. That was so he finds her back. And so that's kind of the story. And then much of the next, chapters 4 through 13 are the messages that I think are connected to that story. And he has to preach these people. He has to say to them, and there's some tremendous phrases that we could really, you know, benefit from as far as memorizing them. They would really keep us on track or be out of trouble. For example, the Lord says in chapter 4, verse 1, because they had controversy with the inhabitants of the land, no truth, no guessing, no knowledge of us. Now you know that they were religious, right? You know that they were going through the motions, and they would have claimed that the people of God were the oracles of God, and yet the Lord was at it, and his measuring apparatus, or his, the way he evaluated things, are always different than what we use. I mean, we have to learn, we sing the songs, and we work the pie, and we think, right, that every time we are alive, and we're going to be pleased to dwell with us, and we're a little bit afraid sometimes of what we can be. I don't know about you, but I'm just, you guys are what we can be. I'm wondering, what if the Lord would say, no truth, no mercy, no knowledge of God?
Chapter
chapter 6, I think it's just a little snapshot of the church. You may disagree with me, but he says, chapter 6, verse 1, come on, let us return with the Lord, for he has torn, he will have sent, he will then find us.
Amen.
After 2 days. 2 days? Why do you think it's a little more vague? It didn't happen in 2 days and 2 days, man. So how am I going to understand it? How am I going to make it still there in the scripture?
I think we know here that through the number of women Jesus sent out to the disciples by twos, right?
And so I think there's this little picture that the Lord says, he says, this is kind of a turning, and after that, age is over. He says, we run the virus. This is exactly what he's going to do to Israel. Chapter 7, verse 1, he says, give our messages that was always thinking because of what happened in his marriage. Last in chapter 7, verse 9, it's like I call this verse the second Samson. Verse 8, Ephraim has just delivered names of the Lord and King, he has mixed himself among the people, kind of like us in the United States. Ephraim is a cake, not turn. Strangers have devoured his strength, and he knows it not. Remember the story of Samson? He shook himself, and he rose up, and he was completely powerless to do anything. These verses like this, they scare the big daylights out of me. They really do. We have to beat down the streets or the rescue mission or some form of place where I'm from, the city, country. And I'm just going to reach and... You know what Paul said? He said, well, you know what? No, he's going to learn this in Jesus Christ and him crucified. And he said, I don't want to be quoted. But he says, why did I even think of that verse? Because I can't quote it. Where's that? Bible people. Why? No, where is it? Corinthians 2, right? Yeah, I was going to be looking at the camera, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing of evangelism, but demonstrating of the Spirit and of power that they face, not standing in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So sometimes we blame the sinner, we always say, oh, you know, they're just hard. We're living fast in times, and it's just, they're not receptive to the gospel. Well, it's all the messenger sometimes.
Yeah.
Examine yourselves, the scripture says, right? Examine. Chapter 8, verse 7, I'm still trying to see something in the rest of it. Yes! Chapter 8, verse 7, we have thrown them in! Chapter 10, verse 2, their heart is divided, now shall they be found faulty. I think of geological terms when I read this. Right, their heart is divided. We have mixed the loyalties, divided principles, and we're going to be found faulty. So certainly there is a good time that I fall, or, you know, but when you think of like plate tectonics, and when there's a switch, Chapter 11, verse 7, this is where you see that famous phrase, and my people are sent to backslide. Chapter 13 and verse 3, there are all four pictures of, the four pictures are, they're going to be like rolling clouds, the early dew that passes away, the chaff that is driven with the whirlwind, and smoke out of the chimney. I don't want my Christianity to be like a shooting star. When you walk outside, you can see the glowing clouds. They look good. You look at them, they're not much of a shade as they're passing. And we put a lot of confidence in passing shadows. That's what Jonah did, right? And when they don't provide any water, and they don't
channel and smoke and when I have any fun, I want to be lasting. If you have a friend from here or some cop or whatever, I want to see, you know, if you will, and if I can use the term, I want to be eternal. I'd like to see a couple of them, what, 20, 30, 59 years from now, be like, hey, we made it, we just had some good advice, we did it. I don't want to see a bunch of good horses, I don't want to see a bunch of chances. I had a friend of mine, went to a funeral a couple of years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, something like that. He had a volume of pastor here in town, I've known him for decades, he's been a faithful man, and his daughter was at some party one night. I don't know anything about the party, I don't think she was rebellious or rambunctious or anything like that. Time, and she said she had a headache. Well, someone gave her a pill. It was an Oxycontin pill. From that moment, she was sick for the rest of her life. And about 4 or 5 years ago, she finally committed suicide.
Oh,
so. I don't know what, right? We were going to say, hey, kid, don't ever take a pill from someone on the back seat of a car or something, right? Okay, you might put a pill in their pocket or have that just run some guy just so they can feel good. No, nothing. So, right? So I don't want my advice and my influence to be like any of these things.
Verses like that is an inspiration.
Lord, when you do something, do you last?
Yes.
Make it effectual.
A couple more verses and we'll get to chapter 14.
Verse 6 of that chapter 13, according to their pastors, so that they feel.
And verse 9, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, that I needed thy nephew.
So all of that as an introduction to chapter 14. Chapter 14 is the one that really talks about the history.
Well, that doesn't matter because now you have this gospel according to Hosea. Now you have this picture that says, hey, let's see how we can, you know, right the ship. Let's see how we can make things right.
And so it starts off and says, oh Israel, I wish your listeners would get a hold of this. I wish people would get a hold of this. He says, return to the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquities. Chapter 13, and it wasn't just a stumble, it wasn't just a mistake, it wasn't a misgiving. No, they destroyed themselves by their iniquity. It said, well, all is not lost. You came as bad as they were, as rebellious, as off track, as fall into the ditch, as stuck in the mud and mire. You can return. Now I have been so embarrassed not to walk into this building. Knowing what happened the previous day, or the previous year, in the previous ministry of Samson, and yet the person like this had inspiring God says, me may not say it, my own thoughts may not say it, but the Lord says, you can return. Like, really? Really, Lord? I mean, are you that gracious? Yeah, he actually is.
That's more than that, I think.
And he always gets called in Proverbs 1. I called and refused. I stretched out my hand. I know those are the same. They come in regardless. And so there's going to come in time when Simon is going to do this line and says, hey, if you cross that line, I'm not going to call anymore. And the Bible said, I was shouting at him. But he called and called and he called. Hebrews 12. God gives him a speech from heaven. Acts 7. Stephen, right before he died, he said, hey, you guys always resist the Holy Ghost. But that tells us that the Holy Ghost was always from heaven. Always calling. Always had to work on your conscience.
How often Jesus said, I would have gathered you together.
How often?
I know. And you would not. But he would. He says, I would. I would.
So he says, return.
There's a lot of people not here today who can return. You know, there might be a lot of people here physically that we would return. Physical presence is only part of being, you know, near God. He says, take with you the words, verse 2. So I need to realize that I am a far off from God sometimes. Although he might be far off from me, either my actions are in my heart, you know, far off from these things, calling like that prodigal's father. Calling, home, the old song says, and when I come back because I've fallen by iniquity, like the prodigal son, I've got nothing. I'm looking for works that will
start this journey back. When I begin to speak of the Lord, it's not going to be on the basis, on the grounds of, look what I'm trying to get done. I've turned over movies, and I've given words, and turned to the Lord. You could almost take chapter 14 of Hosea out of the Old Testament and drop it. It would fit right into the New Testament quite well. It says, take away all iniquity, verse 2. Who knows Colossians then? Heaven forgiving all trespasses. And we see this. This is my New Testament stuff. Graciously. The same also as that 1 Peter. If it's a works, then it's not grace. Okay? You see this, that's not a word you might read about in the Old Testament. Some people wake up in calves and all of this, and I know a version that some of you guys are probably thinking of that. Hebrews 13:15, right? We talk a lot about that verse around here. Well, I think it has different roots, right? Again, we don't have a book called Hosea. Well, can't you imagine being coming back from Hosea's life, from that type of a scenario, and I hope that we've seen her graciously back, and she's going to say, I'm sorry, I won't do it again, I offended you, I hurt my children, I hurt myself, I hurt the Lord, and I bet if Hosea was any kind of a prophet at all, he would receive her graciously. Anybody who really genuinely understands salvation, the natural response is praise. Yes. So there's this call in verse 1. Oh, return to the Lord. Beyond there's some condition for what we're looking for. We're going to be asked for grace. Asher, the confidence of verse 3. Asher is not going to say this. We're not going to remember people. We're not going to ride upon horses. That's like other parables. We're not going to say you can work with our hands. Right? I think you drop this right into the middle of the New Testament. You would fit there for a couple of years. We're not going to prove that we belong here. We're not going to pound away to be here. No, I think that's going to say something like that too. Well, they're going to be raised a couple of dollars and take mom and not marry the children. That's being here. Then you go get out. Now it's still it takes any good way. And so I can say that about my son and myself. They were, but I'm just like, come back to the Lord for a child of God. Yeah, some people I know right now who have kids who are far off.
Yeah.
Well, what they're going to get is
yes.
For those kids to come home.
Amen.
And say things like this. And the kid wouldn't have to say, Mom and Dad, I'm really going to work hard to prove that I belong to you. Mom and Dad would be like, that's how I'm going to
do it. Amen.
And they would just be happy and grateful if they just sat down and listened to it. If they just said, hey, can I sleep here tonight? Oh, music to my ears. And that's what we want. We're not looking for people to trust in other things when it comes to salvation. But I mean, we're not asking you to really impress them with, what are you impressing with, really? Right? You know, when you think about it, we're not all that impressive. I know we said that all the time. Right? You keep saying that it's probably true. That is true. Yeah. So there's this calling, there's this the conditions of salvation, bring words. Let's talk about mercy. Let's talk about grace. Let's talk about getting rid of all iniquity. Those are the conditions. The confidence. I'm not going to trust in other things. Just rely on verse 2. And then the Lord's response is amazing. Verses 4 through 7. I'm not sure if I understand all the poetry or the pictures that he gives us, but they're all look good. Say that. So, the Lord could just save us. He could forgive all iniquity, and life would be, I think, really, really good. me, my entire Christian life has seemed like.
And he said, God, I know all that. Oh, that has so much more value to me than say, the healing of a broken arm or something like that. You know, I just, I want healing from the inside. I want healing from the spirit. I want healing from the mind. And so things have caused me a background where I can't fix that. I can't do anything about that. But hey, he's the one that designed the whole thing, and he can. Because I'm alone in faith, verse 4.
I understand how angry he is. But I know that if I'll turn, he'll turn.
Yes.
Verse 5, I don't know. I will be able to do what he is doing. Maybe it's a reference back to this when that fell. I don't know.
He said, "Woe of the living, cast forth rules, mysteries of prosperity."
No, I'm not talking about money. Although, I think most would have to admit that because he's cleaned up our lives, we have more money.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't waste a lot of money on stupid things.
Yeah.
A lot of addictive things. A lot of things, a lot of temporal things.
And so, his branches are spread, verse 6, beauties of the olive tree.
How come you have that little picture of an olive tree and say, that is fucking beautiful?
I just don't. But in the context of salvation, I think you think that's application. I'm not sure if they are, to be honest with you. But when the Lord of Money says, considering where Hosea's life was, and then when she returns, pretty much anything that
is now here as opposed to there is going to be beautiful.
Can you imagine waking up next to a wife versus waking up and thinking, wish that would be beautiful? Being able to have fellowship here versus who will come there.
Verse 7, may the God of your shadow shall return to the fire of the corner. In fact, one thing Jesus talked about is that all these demands of God. And it works. I don't know how it works. God just creates life that way. And so I think that's kind of what's going to happen with Israel, and I think that's happening with Hosea as well. When she came back, she was dead in trespasses and sin. When she came back, now we have no more to do.
That's just the care, the change, the sharing of our memories. And he couldn't just say, okay, mine, have a sip, don't mess up anymore.
But he uses people, and his lives were broken and busted and just all messed up and corrupted and corroded, and he says, I got a job for you. And hey, you want me to do something? You want me to stand up and help for you about you? Yes, he does. It's amazing.
What can he do with the conversion?
He comes up saying, what am I going to do with you more times?
Amen.
You really get a picture of Lord Jesus. What he does. Who he does it for. Why don't you mess around with idolatry anymore?
It seems to say that right now. The church on Sunday morning to a Friday night
when I'm thinking to look at something on the TV or someone on the computer or to act a certain way behind a little car or whatever.
We all got our same sin. We all got things that tempt us. And it seems to say here, what? Idolatry is nothing. It has no pull or sway or influence. But when you see those billboards that say 393 million without a lot,
amen. Here was a picture. I'm not saying I have that picture. You're in the picture, I think, of the Lord Jesus. Like he is in Revelation chapter 1. Like he is as the Lamb of God is taken away the sin of the world. Like he is as Lion that was tribe of Judah. Like he is in the tabernacle. Then I think we can begin that turn where it says,
seen, I have heard his voice. And I mean, Jesus is the one that says over and over, hey, I'm coming. The woman I'm going to see here, yeah. The Spirit's saying, is to repeat 7:4, but it's time we're going to listen to it, but when you get it, when you hear it, I don't know if he is. Once I hear, then that other stuff pretty much becomes on my head. When I lose that vision, when I don't hear that voice, that's when I get caught. Then the choice. Last words of the chapter. Who wants to be wise people in there? You're going to understand these things. Have you seen the things that are presented in chapter 1 and 3? This is what people do. Right? They get themselves all in trouble, and they act the fool, they live like the devil, and then God turns to redeem them. And goes out and brings them into the family, and then they run off and get in all kinds of trouble and sin, and then God redeems them again. To prevent that from happening over and over, to prevent the book of judgment from happening over and over in our personal lives, he sends out all of these messengers and finds him this call and hey, just return, just stay here with me. I'll prosper you. You're like that tree planted by the waters in Psalm 1. And you'll be under my shadow, like Jesus said, oh, like a chicken under chicks, and life will be good for you. I don't know if it's going to be prosperous or whatever, but I tell you, it better be with the Lord Jesus and the point of what that psalmist said, I'm going to be the doorkeeper of the house of the Lord. When we weigh it out from an eternal scale, it's better to be in the family of God, having fellowship with the Lord Jesus, as opposed to living on earth because I've got a yacht, because I've got a house up in Colorado. Who is wise? Anybody who has a $7 billion there? He shall understand these things. Who is it? He shall know them. The way of the Lord. We know people who are not wise. We know people who are not walking in the ways of the Lord, in the path of the Lord. And that's a heart. That heart is kind of spilled over. Like mud on a finger. You go through a mud hole, just gets flung everywhere. And so maybe in a particular way, it gets flung onto the parents, it gets flung onto the friends, it gets flung onto the church, and it just hurts everybody involved. And so we look at their lives and we say, the good people live the life of the transgressions. The just shall walk in them. The transgressions shall fall. I like the gospel according to the Lord. Yeah. I commend this principle. I like the fact that the Lord said, you can always come back. I'm just looking for the words. If you come back, ask for forgiveness. How do you get forgiven? You don't have to get all caught up in things like, opioid epidemics and all the other things that cause America all kinds of trouble and heartache and grief and pain and loss. We can actually have, I think, that abundant life in Jesus Christ. And it has nothing to do with materialism. I'm not saying that we're going to be, really rich. If you look at it from just a materialistic perspective, we already got more than enough to deal with. We're not very really wise in how we spend the money that we have. And I'm talking about things like those fruits of the Spirit. I could use some more love. I could use some more patience. I could use some more faith and long suffering and temperance and